to the Reset Podcast. Oh, this is our final episode. Can you believe it? But really, I think this is just the beginning of our journey together to stay healthy as you and I grow older. I'm Beverly Morrison Green, and I'm so happy to welcome you today. We have explored so many healthy topics, from power of positivity, physical stability, eating healthy, mindfulness, and connecting with other people. We are well on our way to staying healthy and vibrant. So today, we're going to get some great tips about getting the healthcare you need. I'll talk with Dr. Pearl Lee, who is a geriatrician at Michigan Medicine at the University of Michigan. Now, Dr. Lee has some really useful information to share with you about Medicare to help make sure you're taking advantage of one of its important benefits. But let me start out today with Dr. Felix Valbuena of CHAS, the Community Health and Services Center. Okay, bear with me, you know, regular listeners. I know I usually find a way to work roads or vehicles into conversations. When we are in the, I'll say, autopilot of life, yeah, you're older. Yes, you go to your yearly visits, but you don't necessarily think about, hey, what things do I really need to do to make sure and ensure that I am the healthiest that I can be as I age. We're going to be talking about your health care and things that you need to do to maybe get a tune-up here and there, because you do need gas in your car, but you also need tune-ups every now and then. I should know, my car's in the shop right now. So, Dr. Valbuena, thanks so much for joining us on the Reset Podcast.
My pleasure to be here today with you.
Now, what are some of the most important challenges that older adults face in getting the health care they need? And what are some ways that these things need to be addressed?
Yeah, so as we get older, as you mentioned, you know, the hustle and bustle of life can sometimes divert us from focusing on our health care. And I include myself in that group of getting older, and physicians, for the most part, are not the greatest patients. But I think that it's important, I think, just to start from, you should have a pretty strong relationship with a primary care provider. Mm-hmm. And that ideally was created in younger years. Mm-hmm. But if that's not the case, I think that's the best place to start, is establish a relationship with a primary care provider that you feel comfortable communicating with, that you can reach out to, that's going to help you make sure that you are the best version of yourself from a health and well-being perspective, to be able to go about everything that we're continuing to do, whether it's at work or for those that are a little bit older and have retired, to continue to focus on not only chronic disease care for those of us that have, and I include myself in that, a chronic disease that we're managing, but preventative care. Preventative care is extremely important. As we get older, there's more risk of diabetes. There's more risk of hypertension. There's more risk of cancers. Mm-hmm. And so all of the screenings that help us identify, for example, cancers at an early stage where it's completely treatable, curable, let's say, is important. But the start is having that relationship with a primary care provider that's going to help you navigate through that, because I know a lot of people are on the internet and social media and looking up, you know, I need this, I need that. Mm-hmm. But that should be the medical provider's responsibility to help, and not to say that you don't need to do any of that, but to help guide you in preventive care, mm-hmm. and chronic disease care. And that idea of having at least one contact with that provider in a year, whether it's you call it your well visit or your physical visit, if there are no health issues, is key.
Mm-hmm. Now, many of you have or will have Medicare coverage. I'll be getting it pretty soon myself. So I asked Dr. Pearl Lee about one of its crucial benefits. What is the Medicare annual wellness exam, and what should older adults expect at this examination?
So thank you. So Medicare wellness exam is a visit where you see your primary care physician. And you're eligible once a year. after you have gotten your Medicare Part B. And during this visit, your physician will review your medical history, go through your family history, and also allergies, medications. This is the opportunity for you to have a good review of your medications with your physician if you have any concerns, any questions. And the physician will review your height, weight, blood pressure, and other routine measurements, including home blood pressure measurements and pulse rates, if you have any questions. At the same time, the physician will ask you how you're doing at home, and based on your information to develop a individualized, dedicated preventive care routine regimen. So some of the questions they will ask will be saying how well you're doing at home taking care of yourself, the basic activities of daily living, such as if you're able to transfer, how you walk, can you go shopping, cook, clean your house, use the toilet, and also some more what we consider as more distant functional activity, such as how do you manage your medications? Do you have any concerns? Can you get refills? Can you manage your finance? Do you have any concerns about using transportation? Can you drive yourself to different places, particularly to medical appointments?
Thereafter, what happens with that information? Do they talk to other professionals to seek assistance for them as needed, or what happens with that?
Yeah, so it's really based on the review of these information, then the physician will have more opportunity to go more in depth about each individual issues if there's concerns. For example, if you say that you have difficulty in managing your medications, the physician could review all the medications, try to understand, is there any confusion about individual pills, how to get refills? Are there financial difficulties in getting specific medications, and perhaps there are substitutes for these? And if there's, for example, concern about false ambulation, then the physician could schedule more assessments to see what are the risk factors for the falls.
Now, you know what, I have to say, I find it comforting to know that the Medicare Annual Wellness Exam can lead to so much help in different areas. Another piece of the puzzle to figure out is, who is your primary care physician? I've been working through this with my dad, so I took this opportunity to ask Dr. Valbuena for some advice. So, I have a father who will be 87 this year, and he is pretty healthy. His primary care doctor actually retired last year, and he is needing to find a new primary care doctor. He's not 100% happy with the person that has taken the place of the doctor that retired. He feels like a lot of time and attention is not given to him. He feels like the doctor rushes him, and he doesn't really know his history because he's new to him. His primary care doctor that retired, however, sat and listened, and he knew his history. How can we curve that? What can we do? Because someone is referred to us, you know, after our doctors retire.
Right.
If we're not happy with that replacement, then what are some suggestions?
Yeah, that's a significant challenge, especially with a primary care provider that he may have established care for decades, that individual retires, and now someone from a younger generation that doesn't know all the history, hasn't built that rapport with the patient, takes some time. And unfortunately, in all industries, there's a workforce shortage, and healthcare with burnout and many other things has us working sometimes as if we were on an assembly line.
Yes.
And the patients see that.
Yes.
The patients see that. In your father's situation, I would say ask for another provider. There is a risk that the other provider, you know, you're going to start again from square one.
Right.
But you have to feel comfortable
yes.
with the individual that is helping you with your health, mm-hmm. your physical health, your mm-hmm. mental health, your mm-hmm. oral health, because it's of critical importance, especially in the situation of your father who has no major medical issues,
right.
catching things that could arise very early mm-hmm. so that he can be around longer. You know, life yeah. expectancy, it switched a little bit in COVID, but for the most part has been increasing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have patients that are over 100 years old.
Wow.
And we want to make sure that for the time that we're here mm-hmm. on earth, that we have the best quality of life mm-hmm. possible. Mm-hmm. So my recommendation in your father's situation, if he's really not happy with the provider that he has, to ask for another one.
Okay.
To ask for another one. Within a practice, within a network of insurance, mm-hmm. there are many options.
Mm-hmm.
And try and find someone that he can bond with a little bit better
mm-hmm.
to get the best care and that he feels that he's getting that
yes.
best care, because that's important. That's
very
extremely
important. Okay, so all of us have seen hundreds or maybe even thousands of ads on TV or the internet talking about how some new miracle drug or prescription is going to fix all of what ails us, right? Well, I had to ask Dr. Valbuena, how do we know what's real or even what's legitimate? What happens on TV, and I guess I don't understand why this happens, but they have all these medications, all these prescriptions.
Mm-hmm.
And ask your doctor about such and such. And as we age, you know, the scam thing is real, because people tend to listen and watch and say, well, you know, maybe I should take this. And then you have the situation where people can order things online.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is really a questionable situation as well. But you have older people who are trying to extend their lives, and they see these things that they can take, especially during the infomercial time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take this pill, this mega such and such, and it'll do this and it'll help your memory. And as we're aging, of course, we want to remember more. And we get, I think, concerned that we may be headed toward dementia or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What are your suggestions to a senior citizen who's dealing with watching these programs, and they're suggesting you just take one of these pills a day?
Mm-hmm. We see that at all ages.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Patients will come in with a printout from their computer or a screenshot.
Mm-hmm.
I want this.
Yes.
The commercial said that I can benefit from this, either for chronic disease or to prevent chronic disease.
Mm-hmm.
And so we deal with that on a daily basis. And again, I go back to the critical nature of having that relationship with a primary care provider.
Mm-hmm.
So for the patients that I've established that over the years, they'll reach out to me. Hey, I saw this on TV. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, I need this.
Yes.
And so having that relationship allows you to have a subject matter expert to talk you through that, because the vast majority of those things that you see on TV, yes, to some extent they can work,
mm-hmm.
and they're varying degrees of how much they work,
mm-hmm.
but it is often not necessary, either for preventive or for chronic disease care. And your medical provider is staying up to date on the latest. And sometimes the latest is good, but you don't get that added benefit for
yeah.
the cost, because
yeah.
it's maybe it's not covered by insurance, and you got to do a prior authorization for it or pay a larger copay for it. So the answer to that question is we see it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having that relationship with a primary care provider that you confide in is the first step in saying, hey, I saw this when I was watching TV last night, or I got this in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about it?
Mm-hmm.
And talk through that.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, your medical provider should be able to give you the best advice on your health.
So with that said, what can we do when we come to you? What is it that we can do to help you?
Questions, questions,
okay.
questions.
Okay.
I'll have patients come that, you know, I haven't seen in 6-8 months. I've asked them and, you know, we've talked through, when things come up, jot them down, jot them down. And they can just be bullet points to help jog your memory, because a lot of times patients will have an acute problem going on. I got a back pain, I got a leg pain. And as soon as they get into the exam room, It's gone.
Yes, I know.
It's gone. Happens. I don't know why, but it's gone. And so having those questions and the ability to reach out to your provider after, we have patient portals with our electronic health records where they can send messages back and forth, sometimes email, allows those questions to be answered. And then a list of everything that you're taking. Mm-hmm. As non-prescription as it may be, mm-hmm. it can impact some of the herbal supplements.
Okay.
Vitamins can interact with some of the medications and some of the conditions that patients may have.
Mm-hmm.
So a list of questions, and it can be long.
Mm-hmm.
We'll focus on a few key items that are brought up that day, and then a list of all the medications that you may be taking, even if they're over the counter, to help guide us in maybe recommending. You don't need to take all of those over-the-counter things.
Mm-hmm.
You're spending extra money on these. You may not need those.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to minimize the number of things that we have to take every day,
mm-hmm.
and maybe focus on a little bit of exercise, maybe some changes in diet that would help, and you wouldn't need all of those or the vast majority of those over-the-counter things are key. Because, again, we are limited in the time that we have together.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more information that you can share with me, the easier it's going to be to get through recommendations for what I think we can agree on would be best for you until the next time you come in to see me.
Okay. Now, did you ever see that famous old movie where the warden says, "Now what we have here is a problem of communication"? You remember? Yeah, I do too. It sounds to me like Dr. Valbuena has a solution for us. Ask questions. I love it. Okay, so we talked about the Medicare wellness exam, but what about some of the challenges that face those of us who are not yet at that age? I asked Dr. Lee about that.
Some of our participants will be in the 50 to 64 age range. What is important for them to know regarding preventative care and screening?
Yes, so particularly in the 50 to 64-year-olds, in addition to screening for some of the common chronic medical conditions, such as getting blood tests to screen for diabetes, checking the blood pressure to screen for hypertension, weight, screen for obesity, there should also be preventive care done for screening for cancer. For example, for breast cancer, they should have mammograms recommended or referrals done to screen for colorectal cancer. So some people may want to opt for colonoscopies or different forms of colon cancer screening test.
Why is it especially important for older people to get vaccinated? I have an 85-and-a-half-year-old father who actually had COVID just about 2 or 3 weeks ago. He sounded a little nasally, but other than that, he seemed to be okay. My father is vaccinated and boosted and everything else. And there are unfortunately, some seniors that still feel if they get the virus, then it is like an immunity to anything else that they would get in terms of COVID. So why do you think, or why would an older person feel that it's important to get vaccinated?
Yeah, so as we age, a lot of times our immunity wanes a little bit. So we need to get boosting for immunity, for vaccines. And for COVID, particularly, there's so many different strains as well that's constantly going around. And so we really need to want to stay up to date with getting the new vaccines. And then if there is anyone who developed COVID at this point, really it's important to notify their physician immediately, so as soon as possible, because there are available medications to treat COVID. There are many different forms, actually, but many of them are very time sensitive. So essentially, the earlier they get the treatment started, the more effective these medications are.
Sure enough, you don't want to mess around with COVID. We all have seen how rapid that was in Metro Detroit. We lost family, friends, neighbors. I, for one, plan to stay on top of that, stay protected, All right, well, what about protecting ourselves from other illnesses? Cold, flu, whatever. Surely all of us have heard about one potion or another that help us with all of these things. But you know, I put this question to Dr. Valbuena. There is an issue, I'll say, within some cultures, and I'll talk about the African-American culture in particular. And I won't say they're necessarily issues, but I know that I had an aunt, and my mom used to call her Dr. Quack, because she always came up with these little home remedies, mm-hmm. garlic water and this, that, and the other, mm-hmm. You know, to help you if you're having this kind of ailment and so on. Mm-hmm. And those things are maybe not necessarily harmless, mm-hmm. But as you stated, interacting with some other medications that you're taking, maybe you have acid reflux as a mm-hmm. result of a medicine, and then this natural herb or this remedy that someone told you about, mm-hmm. which is another issue, because someone will tell you, you know what, oh, I had a back pain, and what I did is I took this concoction, mm-hmm. and now I'm much better. So how do you interact, and how do you communicate with a person that's dealing with that?
Yeah, so the start is to be a good listener.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me and have the patient feel comfortable sharing those, because they say, well, you know, it's just an herb. Mm-hmm. That's not going to interact with anything.
Mm-hmm.
So have that comfort level where they can share those things with me. Mm-hmm. I'm not against those.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, if it's something natural mm-hmm. that you're being charged an arm and a leg for mm-hmm. to take, and the benefit based on the cost that you have to pay isn't that great, then I'm going to share that with you.
Mm-hmm.
If there's an interaction with something that you're taking prescription-wise, I will, you know, bring that up too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not against patients using home-type remedies.
Yeah.
The apple cider vinegar for mm-hmm. cold sores is mm-hmm. an example that we use that you could take an antiviral medication that's prescribed,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes a little Q-tip with a dab of apple cider vinegar right on the cold sore takes
it away. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm not against those.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very open to actually learning about some of those things that work, that mm-hmm. that I could share with others, but it's important to have the patient share those with me. So if there is an alert with something else that they're taking, that I bring that up.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Telehealth, got to talk about that.
Yes.
I think that as, again, I have to refer back to my dad, my mm-hmm. parents in general,
mm-hmm.
and everything is now, you know, about a computer or a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
It's very irritating to him because he's used to, you know, having face-to-face yeah. interaction mm-hmm. or getting on the phone and scheduling an appointment with his doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But now you have to go online and do this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets confusing and uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
to some seniors.
Mm-hmm.
And as we age, it gets more confusing too. So telehealth, how does that work for seniors and what is your recommendation?
Yeah, mm-hmm. for those that agree to do that from a patient side, and for the patients that are deemed, let's say, eligible to have a virtual visit.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing some of those in video, and we're doing some of those just by voice. And the goal with that is, you know, especially in the senior population, sometimes it's difficult to get out,
yes,
to get, you know, with the weather, we don't want you to slip and fall and break a hip.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand. And a lot of my seniors, they want to be face to face with me. They
yes.
want hands on. They want to look me in the eye
yeah.
and see my reaction.
Yeah.
When, and so we do that.
Mm-hmm.
But for patients that are fairly well, let's say they have a chronic disease and they're fairly well controlled, we can just do it by phone.
Mm-hmm.
And for our hypertension patients, we have a blood pressure cuff mm-hmm. that we've given to them that is already set up to their phone. So
mm-hmm.
they just have to have the phone near the machine.
Oh, okay.
The values go in, it shoots it up into their electronic health record, and I get to see those. The nurses are actually acting on those. And it's very low tech from the patient perspective because we connect everything. They just have to have the phone on at the time that they're doing the blood pressure. And they talk to each other. They connect, they talk, and it goes up to the electronic health record, and we get to see that.
Okay.
And so having the virtual visits available for those that feel comfortable has been a game changer. It opens up a spot in the center to mm-hmm. actually bring somebody in to see in person. But again, it has to be something that not only the provider, but the patient is in agreement with,
mm-hmm.
and not in perpetuity. You know, we do need, there's some things, I can't listen to your heart.
Right.
I can't listen to your lungs.
Right.
By a screen, mm-hmm. Or by just voice. Mm-hmm. So telehealth has helped significantly, and we want to continue to use that for those that feel inclined to do so. But that doesn't mean that for those that don't want to do that and want to come in, that we won't see them.
What do you find challenging about a patient who has a language, second language is actually English, and, you know, now you have Spanish, you have Arabic, mm-hmm. you have all of these mm-hmm. different cultures, and people need the assistance. Is there a barrier, or what happens in terms of that and you being able to fulfill their needs?
Most definitely. And I've lived that and experienced that firsthand. Mm-hmm. For the majority of patients who speak Spanish, we have frontline staff, we have providers, dentists, behavioral health specialists that can communicate with them. Mm-hmm. Because you miss tremendous amount of information that helps you improve the care that's being delivered when you can actually communicate mm-hmm. With the patients. It is extremely important, and I believe that the care needs to be delivered in the at least in the language mm-hmm. Of the individual's mm-hmm. Preference.
Can you imagine going to an appointment with a doctor and not being able to communicate? I can only imagine how thankful patients are when they go to Dr. Valbuena's office or others like his, where they really make an effort to provide medical care while speaking the patient's language. I love that. Dr. Lee had one final thought to send us on our way.
Is there anything else related to healthcare and physician visits that you would think is really important for older adults to be thinking about at this point?
I would recommend not skipping a lot of the routine visits to make sure that you continue to get the cancer screening test, the diabetes screening test, to get other immunizations. Because don't forget, even though COVID is, you know, on the TV news every night, there's other bacteria infections, virus infections still going on everywhere else. For example, pneumonia, whooping cough, Tdap. So these are other vaccines, and shingles vaccine, which is a one in three older adults could get shingles, and that could be very painful. And we have vaccines to prevent these conditions.
Okay, Dr. Lee, you're going to make me go get vaccinated for shingles because I haven't been vaccinated yet. So I'm on my way. I'll call my doctor today.
I am so thankful to wrap up our Reset podcast series with such clear and good advice from Dr. Valbuena and Dr. Lee. And I hope this series has been helpful and meaningful to you to help you push the reset button to embrace whatever little changes you can make to live healthy and happier. I hope to see you out and about with a positive disposition, or at yoga class, or eating some healthy food with your friends, or just walking along the river with a soft breeze in your face and the sun lighting up your smile.
The Reset Podcast is a project of the University of Michigan School of Public Health in partnership with the Detroit Health Department and is produced by Michigan Media. Funding is provided by the National Institute of Nursing Research.